We're looking at a subject here, the heart. Verse number 2, it talks about, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts. Verse number 3 talks about fleshy tables of the heart. The scripture has a lot to say about the heart. You know, if you do a Bible study on the heart, you're going to find that it's mentioned in 884 times in the Bible. You find the word heart. And we're not going to look at all of them tonight, not even near that. But the first time we see it in the Bible, it talks about God looking down on the earth in Genesis chapter 6. And he saw the heart of man in verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's the first time we find the word heart mentioned in the Bible. Now, let's not talk about that physical organ, okay? That organ in our body doesn't do any thinking, all right? We talk about, I love you with all my heart, you know, that muscle about the size of your fist that pumps blood. No, you don't love with that. We love with our mind. But that's what it's talking about, the seat of our emotions, our heart. It deals with our thoughts in our imaginations. We find in that first mention in Scripture, in Genesis chapter 6, that God knows our heart and God sees our heart. Flip back to the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Revelation chapter number 2. So in Revelation, we find the word heart mentioned several times. And one of the last times is Revelation 2 and verse number 23. And Jesus is writing a letter to a church. And he says in verse number 23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So one of the very last times, Jesus wanted to put all the churches on notice. You know, I think if that's good for these seven churches, that's good for our church too. That's good for each one of us. He wants to put us on notice that he searches the reins. If you had a horse and you were trying to ride that horse, you'd hold on to the reins. When you hold the reins, you control the horse. You control the bit and the bridle, and you turn the horse this way or that way. You make it go fast. You make it go slower. And so you're controlling that horse. And so the heart is what controls our body. It is our mind. It is our seat of emotions. It's our thoughts. And so God said here, I'm watching what you do with your heart. I'm watching your thoughts. I'm watching and I'm paying attention to your reins and your hearts. I reward the thoughts of your reins and hearts accordingly, and I judge accordingly. And so we find, which book do you think talks about the heart most? If you were to come up with one in the Bible, which one do you think it would be? Psalms? Proverbs? Okay. Anybody else? Okay, there's 884 times in the Bible the word heart is mentioned, and the one is Psalms. 130 times it's mentioned. The Proverbs mentions it a lot. I don't know how many. That's be another sermon. Now, look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And I'm going to go a little faster tonight, so just listen fast and find the scripture fast, and hopefully you'll get it. Sometimes I try to give the scripture out a little earlier before I get to the point in the morning. And every once in a while, I get chewed out in the morning. You go too fast. I can't get to the scripture. And so I always try to do that. All right. Jeremiah 17, verse number 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the answer is verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So we need to know our own heart. Our heart is desperately wicked. My heart is desperately wicked because I'm a sinner. We're a sinner saved by grace if we know Christ as our Savior, but we still have a sinful heart, an ungodly heart that is capable of doing ungodly things. Now, in Proverbs, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 tells us that our heart has a treasure. We find in Luke chapter 6 that there are two opposing treasures. Luke chapter 6 in verse number 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his what? Heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we have two opposing treasures. Good hearts bring forth what? Good treasures. Did you see it? Good hearts bring forth good treasures. Evil hearts bring forth what kind of treasures? Evil treasures. So we find that our words are the overflow of our heart. What's coming out of our mouth is what's in our heart. It's just an overflow. It's just the fact that there's so much in our heart that it comes out. It's natural. It's just a response. Let's look at writing on others' hearts. Now, look back to our text here. I closed the page. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. I've got too many things written in here, and I had to use a notebook tonight. But here we are. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. So Paul mentions that the people in the church in Corinth, verse number 2, ye are our epistle. Epistle just means letter. Ye are our epistle, written in our what? Hearts, known and read of all men. So he mentions that the people in the church in Corinth were an epistle written in our hearts. You know, many years ago, I heard the little term heart prints. Now, I like that little term. You leave heart prints on people's lives, right? That's a good thing. And you leave heart prints. How many of you have a dog? Okay? A dog, right? Okay. Then you know what I mean by nose art, right? Nose art. My front door has a storm window. And, you know, it's crazy because yesterday, my dog's name is Ebony, and she went outside. And then she's looking outside, and then when I let her outside, then she looks inside to come back in. It's like, what are you doing? And dogs are crazy. And but she puts her nose on the door and then slobbers on the door, right? And makes nose art. And so you leave your dog in the car, right? And Brother Les left his dog, Sheba, in the car one day, and she drank all of his coffee. I remember he came over to the church, and he's plowing the snow, and he goes, hey, come on out in the truck. We'll plow some snow. I went out in the truck, and he's like, Sheba, what did you drink? Was it a large coffee? It was a medium coffee, and drank the whole cup of coffee. I'm like, wow, what a great dog. And, but the dog leaves nose art. How about this? Doggy drool, and here's a new word, snot dots, all right? That's what dogs leave, right? So you go by a car, and they don't have little kids. It's the dog. Just these snot dots all over the window. And, you know, thank God you can clean that off. But it is kind of, you got to use, like, vinegar and water and just kind of scrub it. And it's like, oh, great. Now, thank God you can clean it up. Now, Paul said, you have left a lasting impression. Just like that dog leaves impressions on your window. He said, you've left an impression on our hearts. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. A book written in our hearts. For him, it was a loving memory. This is a good memory. He said, I have a good memory of the people here in Corinth. Now, remember, it was the church in Corinth. It didn't start out like that, right? You read the book of 1 Corinthians, and there were some problems in the church, some really big sinful problems, and Paul had to deal with these things. And so he deals with them, and then he writes the second letter, kind of like the pendulum swung the other way, and he says, okay, let's take the situation, and it's been corrected now. Now, if the people in Corinth were making heart prints, don't you think we all make them? Everywhere we go, and everyone we meet, we are making a lasting impression. Look at Romans chapter 14. Keep your place here. Romans chapter 14, that impression is written on others' hearts. Romans 14, verse number 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. You know what that means? I am not neutral. You are not neutral. We're not just some neutral person going through with, God didn't just say cut, paste, cut, paste, cut, paste, cut, paste. And we're all just kind of vanilla ice cream, neutral people. We're not. We leave an impression on people. And the truth is, you are an atmosphere. You're an atmosphere. Everywhere you go, you're an atmosphere. Now, sometimes we just kind of go somewhere. We just want to keep our head down and keep a low profile. But the truth is, you're giving off an atmosphere everywhere you go. You're giving off an aura. You are sending out a message. Make it a good one. Hey, Christian, this morning, he was walking around and he had the offering plate, right? And he said, hey, look at this. It looks like, and I said I was going to use that tonight, right? And so you ever see those religious paintings, right? And they have Jesus and he has that like halo on his head, right? That really didn't happen, okay? And you ever see, and they have other people that have like a ring, like a little frisbee on. Anybody's ever see that, you know? The Good Sam Club, okay, remember that? And, you know, but maybe a glow, like some guy has a glow, right? You're giving off an aura everywhere you go, okay? Here's the other thought. You remember the Peanuts cartoon? Pigpen, remember that guy? Okay, he gave off an aura too, didn't he? Everywhere he went, there was like this dusty cloud following him. And everybody's like, whoa, get out of the way. Here comes Pigpen, right? Now, which would you rather be? The saint with the glow, right? And the glow ring around your head? Or Pigpen, right? We are leaving an impression on people's hearts everywhere we go. I'd like to think that everywhere I go and everyone I meet is a little better off because they met me. I like to think that everywhere I go and everyone I meet is a little brighter because they met me. You know, it doesn't take much. My neighbor was out and he put out a flower bed the other day. And he got some granite stones and he put them all in a circle. And he was out there for a couple hours and he put out this granite flower bed. And so I went outside and I said, hey, that looks great. And he said, I'm going to plant it in the spring. I said, you did an awesome job. He did. He did a great job. You know, he was out there for a few hours, and I noticed it. I have to look at it. I'm just starting to sit down on the porch. My dog's making snot dots on the window, right? And I'm just looking out there, seeing what he's drinking, a cup of coffee, writing this sermon. And there he is. And so I just said, you know what? It doesn't cost me anything, right? And I was going to go over to see my other neighbor today, but he went in, and he's getting his snowmobiles out. And I was going to tell him, look it, don't take this personal, okay? But I hope you don't get to use those for a couple weeks anyway, okay? And he'd have a good laugh with it, right? And one day he came over to help me push my car up the driveway. It was stuck and it wouldn't start. So, you know, so just talking to the people around you. Well, are they saved or lost? You know, they're probably all lost. But you know what? I can still make an impression. Why are they going to want my Jesus if they don't want me, right? And so try to make an impression. Try to make them a little brighter. We are making lifelong engravings on the hearts of others. What should we do? Make them carefully. Someone said this about Sunday school teachers in general, and I thought it was such an amazing quote. I wrote it down. You are not teaching for 30 minutes. You are teaching for 30 years. That impression that you make can last for 30 years or more, right? We can remember people that left an impression on us, maybe good, maybe bad, right? You're not teaching for 30 minutes. You're teaching for 30 years. You're making an impression on people's lives. They're impressionable. We should take our responsibility, treat our responsibility prayerfully. Now, I need a couple helpers here. So how many kids do we have here? How many kids here? Oh, they're coloring, right? Are they coloring? Yeah, can I borrow them for a minute? Okay, great. I got a good thing for them here. And how many kids we got? We got Brenton. All right. Come here. All right. I worked hard on this. All right. I even went to the store. Okay. There we go. Yeah, you can come up here. All right. They'd be too nervous to come up here. Come on, right up here. Here, I'm gonna give you something. You can hold that. All right. Hold that. Show us what it is. Look at this. There you go. Hold that. Okay. You want to try one, Brenton? I got one for you right here. Okay. All right. That's okay. All right. Hold on a second. Hang on. So, see what they have in their hand? They have a heart, right? Oh, here we go. Here's Mackenzie. All right. Come on up here. All right. I've been taking lessons from Brother Les. There you go. Now hold that heart up there. All right. Now, watch what happens. So I'm not a neutral person, right? And I'm walking around giving out an aura everywhere I go because I'm an atmosphere. I am writing on people's hearts, just like the people in Corinth did. They wrote on Paul's heart. So I come around here, and I'm gonna write on your heart, okay? Just hold that heart right there. And so look at that. Yay! Can you see that? All right, so there's a smiley face, right? Blue paint. Now I've got to be an octopus here, all right? So now I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to write on Josiah's heart, all right? Let's see what I'm going to write on here. I'm going to make a sunshine. Look at that. Oh, this is terrible. All right? What's that guy's name who used to do the painting? What's that guy's name? No, not Picasso. I was thinking about, what's that guy, Bob? Bob with the hair? Picasso. You guys are, Picasso was weird. He was on something, okay? My favorite painter is Monet. He was good. But Picasso, Pablo Picasso, right? I think he was drug-induced when he painted, okay? I wouldn't mind having one of his paintings. They're kind of nice, but, I mean, they're weird, but they're expensive, okay? And so let's see. I'm gonna write on your heart over here, okay? So I'm going to write a nice little heart on a heart. Look at that. Oh, there we go. So we got a smiley face. We got a sunshine. We got a heart, all right? Whoa, that's a hard brush. I should have washed it out last time. Okay? So there we go. We got a nice heart on your heart right there. Now, hold on. Now, what happens sometimes, though, is we come along and we're having a bad day, and we go, yeah, you know what? And somebody comes by, and they go, did you meet Pastor Carlson today? What in the world happened there? And, oh, he was having a bad day, and he took it out on me, right? And then I come over here, and I go, let's see, what's another bad color, all right? So let's see. I'll put, oh, that looks like mud, doesn't it? I'll put a question mark on there, like, oh, and just, oh, kind of making it, oh, that's terrible, right? And I'm writing on people's hearts everywhere I go. So let's see, what should I do for you? Let's see what we got. One more color. What did I use? There we go. Here we go. Another color. And we'll just kind of put a lightning bolt here. Like, shh. All right. Just a terrible mess on your heart. Can you believe that? People go by and they write on people's hearts and they make a mess and they're having a bad day and they come by and they take it out on them and they put dots and gunk on people's hearts and heart prints. Whoops, I don't want to get your hair there. All right. You already have black hair. Nobody will see it. All right. And I put different things on there. All right, thank you. Give them a big hand, all right? They did a good job. All right. What am I going to do with these? Thanks, you can keep those. And they'll be worth some money someday. All right? But be careful, they're wet, okay, parents? All right, they're a little wet. And, wow, I'm going to keep my day job. But you get the idea, okay? Yeah, thank you, miss. I'll color you one after, okay? Here we go. Smith, see that? So I'm going to give her a nice one. Not one day of the year. So everywhere we go, every time we meet somebody, just picture yourself. I'm walking around with a paintbrush. Which color am I going to pick up? And I'm going to meet the... Listen, you know, they're... Never mind. I met a guy yesterday. He wanted to kill me one time. And so I didn't even say hi to him, but that was yesterday. Anyway, he's a little short guy, too. It's kind of funny. Like, if you're going to be so rude and mean, at least you should be bigger, right? I don't know. You look like a poodle. But anyway, so everywhere we go, we're walking around like this paintbrush, and we're writing on people's hearts. What are we writing? Are we writing good things? So my neighbors, I'm writing on their hearts. My coworkers, I'm writing on their hearts. My family, I'm writing on their hearts. You know, it's great. What did I read the other day about Thanksgiving? It said something like, if you have a big political argument at Thanksgiving, you won't have to buy people Christmas presents. Right? It's kind of nice. You don't have to get your family Christmas presents. So don't do that. All right. Now, and look at the second thought, verse number 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 2. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts. So everywhere we go, we're writing on people's hearts. Known and read of all men. Other people read our hearts. You see, Paul said, our hearts are like an open book. What are they reading? Hey, finish this phrase. You can't judge a book by its cover, okay? Now, I have two books here. But we do, don't we? We really do. Watch. Oh, look at that book. Illustrated Encyclopedia of the Roman Empire. And look at that book. Now, if you had to pick a book
to take on vacation and read, right? I mean, these guys they were weird, right? They were fantastic. They're killing everybody and, you know, building coliseums and feeding people to lions, right? As Christians, right? But really, which one is more interesting? I just picked this one because it was colorful, right? I haven't read this one yet. Okay? We'd pick this one, wouldn't we? We'd say, I'm going to pick this one up and look at it. And we'd probably just go right past this one. But you know what this one is? It's Lincoln at Gettysburg. Well, you know, I'd probably rather read this book, but the cover kind of snuck up on me and said, well, look, this is a bright colored, and actually, you know what? There's photographs in here. There's photographs all, and you know what? There's not even one photograph in this one. My brother-in-law gave me this book. Not even, I can't believe it. He didn't even give me one photograph. He doesn't even know I can't read yet. And but you know, we do judge books by their covers. And so ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. People are reading us. People are looking at the cover and either they're going to say, well, that's good. I think I'll learn more about that. Or they're just passing us over. Maybe you pass over a really good book right there. You know, most of the books that I have, they don't have anything much on the cover. They're maybe 100 years old. And they're just kind of a cloth bound, you know, and they're kind of falling apart. But the context is, I think it's awesome. And a lot of the books you read, you know, today are just kind of fluffy and like, okay, what was that all about, right? Number three, Paul said this. So first of all, we find that we're making an impression on people's lives. Paul mentioned that the people in the church in Corinth were epistles written in our hearts. Number two, we're known and read of all men. Number three, the third verse. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Paul said of the church in Corinth that the people, each one of them, were manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, written where? Verse 3, the last phrase, in fleshy tables of the heart. Who was the pen that was writing on their heart? The Spirit. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, was writing on their heart. It is beyond obvious that the Spirit of God has made your heart the epistle of Christ. For as much as you are manifestly declared, that word, that means it's beyond obvious. It's manifestly declared. It's right in front of your face. You can't miss it. Manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, you are the book that God is having in this world written by his Spirit. And everywhere you go, people are reading your life. It's beyond obvious. That's what the verse says. Our heart is an open book. Does our heart say, Christ is the author of my life? That's what our heart ought to say. When people look at us, when we go to work, when we go to school, when we go in the neighborhood, when we go shopping, our heart ought to say, Christ is the author of my life. Look at verse 3 again. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Ministered by us. That's an interesting phrase. The responsibility of each of us through Christ to write on others' hearts what Christ would write. That's our responsibility. So he said, we are ministers who write on other people's hearts. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Here's the last verse. And verse number 19. Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Now this is a great thought. You'll probably remember it. It's not very doctrinal, I guess, but here's the thought. Are you making snot dots or are you making heart prints? That's what we do, right? We walk around. Oh, yuck. Or a smiley face and a sunshine and a bird or something. You know what I'm saying? Are we leaving people better than we found them? Are we making people glad?
that we walked into the room and we have that aura about us, like that glow like Christian has, okay? Or are we like Pigpen? Oh, no. Where's the table? Let me hide under it, okay? And every day, we are an epistle. We are an epistle. People are reading us. Make sure that the cover is indication of what's on the inside. Let's pray.